Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. That's Paul Dottino. I am John Schmelk. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number for you to get in touch with us, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll try to keep track of that during the day. And, you know, Paul, it's a slow part of the offseason, so I figure today's a good time to talk about Giants history. Not. So, clearly a lot going on. We have the Brandon Marshall stuff from yesterday. Obviously a lot of news in this legal negotiating period where teams are, you know, not agreeing but agreeing to deals with these players that are being announced. We'll get into all that. But Paul and I haven't been on since the Brandon Marshall move, so, Paul, I think we should touch on that first. I think from a football standpoint, it's really hard to argue with the move. We talked about trying to get a bigger possession type of receiver. Brandon Marshall fits the bill, and of course he's more than that. 2 years ago he had 1,500 yards, double-digit touchdowns. Last year a down year because of some injuries and because of some poor quarterback play by the New York Jets. So you're getting one of the best wide receivers production-wise over the last 10 years in the NFL, and he brings you something a little bit different than your two primary wide receivers already on the roster in Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, you know, John, I think when I looked at Brandon Marshall's numbers and I tried to put the obvious stuff aside, I went back and I researched it and I posted it on Twitter yesterday. Since 2010, he's had 62 catches inside the red zone. 42 of those 62 went for touchdowns. This guy is a scoring machine.
Yeah.
I remember being with the Giants when they went to play to the Chicago Bears out at Soldier Field about 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember how his size, his strength, his ability to push off and legally get away with offensive pass interference, which most big receivers are able to do, was evident that night. I was standing there in the corner of the end zone when he caught a touchdown pass to help beat the Giants in that game. And I kept saying to myself, wow, you know, that's the kind of stuff that these skyscraping receivers can do, and there are only so few of them. Plexico Burress, you know, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald.
Julio Jones.
Braylon Edwards, to some degree, was one of those guys.
When he was really good, yes,
you know,
sure.
And obviously, Brandon Marshall. These guys are special guys. They come out of, you know, drawer number 5 in the kitchen cabinet, and they are like a corkscrew. They're different than everybody else, and they allow you to do something that you can't do with any other kind of player.
Now, you looked at the numbers. I took some time yesterday, and I probably looked at around 85% of his catches last year. I watched every catch on tape to see what they were. And a few things struck me. One is something you already mentioned. If you try to press this guy off the line, good luck. His long arms and frame, he'll just toss you aside. Richard Sherman tried to get physical with him in his game against the Seahawks. Not happening. Malcolm Butler tried to get physical in the game against the Patriots. Not happening.
He's pretty thick.
Yes, he's a very strong and long guy. So you're not going to get physical with him at the line, number one. Number two, one thing that I think has been missing from Eli Manning's repertoire probably for about 3 years now since Hakeem Nicks left is the back shoulder catch. And it's something, for as many things that Odell Beckham Jr. is really, really good at, he hasn't clicked with Eli Manning on that back shoulder catch yet. Victor Cruz, it was never his thing. They're smaller guys. But Nicks was good at it. And even Ruben Randall actually did it a couple times here or there.
Tumor.
Well, that's going back even further, obviously.
Tumor and Burress had it down.
But, and it's a pass that Eli Manning likes to throw.
Absolutely.
But have we seen him throw much in the last 2 or 3 seasons?
No, he hasn't.
And Brandon Marshall, with Ryan Fitzpatrick throwing to him, was the master of the back shoulder catch last season. Again and again and again. Because when you're a cornerback, you can't play behind a guy like Brandon Marshall.
No.
He's going to extend and catch the ball in front of you. So how do you play them? You have to play in between him and the quarterback and face guard him. And for these cornerbacks that aren't good enough for once the ball is up in the air to turn their head and find the ball, which, let's be honest, is 90% of the cornerbacks in the league these days. Guys just don't turn their head around when they're playing press man like that. You get the ball to that back shoulder, that cornerback's not going to ID that ball and be able to make a play on it. So the Giants saw a lot of press man with the two high safeties last year, Paul.
Yep.
A lot of it. That's the play that's going to help defeat that coverage on the sideline. And Marshall did a ton of it last year looking at tape. With his long arms and his excellent route running, which, by the way, he is a very good route runner at his age, that's going to be a play that's going to be impossible to stop. And it could be a go-to for Eli Manning in a lot of situations.
Well, I'm going to go even further than that, and I think that the deep sideline route is going to be there more for Eli, because there were too many times that the Giants receivers, for as good as they were, and everybody knows how much I like Victor Cruz, and we all love Odell Beckham, and we all love Shepard. Here's the thing. Too many times in today's game, when you've got 6-foot-plus taller corners and safeties in the game, the Giants' Smurf-like receivers were unable to go up and win those 50-50 balls that were a foot or two higher than the box, because in many cases, the defensive back was either equal to their height or taller than them by an inch or two, which made it incredibly difficult for the Giant to win it. This guy will win those.
And I think all three of the plays that we've talked about so far, you in the red zone, the back shoulder, the contested 50-50 balls, and I'll even throw the slant in there, where if he breaks in front of the cornerback, it's over. He's catching the ball.
He has played some slot, remember, too.
He was actually in the slot, I'd say 30% of the time in the tape I watched last year with the Jets. He was in the slot a decent amount. He's going to make the contested catch.
Yes.
He doesn't have to be open to throw him the football. Mm-hmm. He can be covered, and this is why he's such an effective red zone target. Because, Paul, as you know, and folks, the red zone's a compressed area. Rarely are guys running open in the red zone. You have to fit the ball in the small areas and make contested catches. That's what Brandon Marshall's really good at. So all those things put together, to me, it makes a ton of sense. It's going to make the offense a lot better, and it's going to, I think, give a little bit more of a security blanket to Eli Manning. And I know Giant fans might not want to hear this, but I do think it removes some of the priority to find a really good pass-catching tight end, because I think Marshall does pick up some of that slack with his frame and his size.
It does. Maybe there's more of an emphasis now on the blocking tight end, which we both think that they need to do. I will tell you this. I had asked the fans a couple hours ago, John, I stole one of our things from my Twitter page, Fact or Fiction.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the fans, the Giants will have 2 1,000-yard wide receivers in the upcoming season, fact or fiction?
That's actually funny. Dan Salamo made that exact question part of our written fact or fiction feature that's coming up later on today.
Okay. And guess what? 220 votes, 80% fact, 20% fiction. The fans out there clearly on board with what the Giants are doing with Brandon Marshall. And I will say this, too. I want to add this. The one thing that I noticed when in listening to him, reading his quotes and in listening to everything that he said so far, whether it's here at the Giants or on Good Morning Football and NFL Network and everything
else. He's on with Francesa as well, Bob Papa's PapaCast.
He's done the whole circuit.
Oh, yeah.
He's done the whole circuit.
He likes to talk.
He does. But here's what I liked about it. He was talking about how Eli was one of the first guys to get to him, and they've already started to plan April workouts on their own.
Well, he does that thing down at Duke with the receiver.
Okay, but it shows you what he's thinking about. And, in fact, the other thing I thought that was really good is that he said Nate Burleson from NFL Network was trying to get a hold of him, apparently, right after the season was over, and he couldn't. Turns out Brandon Marshall was down in Florida working out.
Right. And yesterday he actually had to delay the Giants conference call because he wanted to work out in the gym. And the other thing he said,
I love that,
he's never made the playoffs. And that's why he wants to come here, to make the playoffs and try to win a Super Bowl. If you're watching on Twitter, thanks for joining us. Check out Giants.com and the Giants mobile app to listen to the rest of the show. You can go there and check it out right now. Paul, a couple things I want to touch on, too, in regards to the signing. Not a signing without a certain amount of risk. He did have a down number year last year. He's going to turn 33. He had some leg injuries last year. And, you know, wide receivers on the wrong side of 30. He turns 33 end of March. You know, there is some danger there. You hope that he's not on the start of a decline. I don't think his season 2 years ago is an indication that that's the case. But it's something to keep an eye on when you're signing a 33-year-old wide receiver, something you have to watch for. But I do think the skill set that he has makes him immune to some of the issues older wide receivers have because of his size. Think Anquan Boldin. How effective has he remained throughout his career, even at an older age?
And even think about what Plaxico Burress did when he came back from being off for a little while, came back to the Jets, still caught like 45 passes and 8 touchdowns. Right. Mm-hmm. Still gave them something, even though he wasn't quite the same. He was a lot more rustier and a lot creakier. I agree with that. And, again, think of the kinds of plays that Burress made for the Giants when he was here. That's the kind of repertoire you're going to see, you know, from Brandon Marshall. I think the other thing that was interesting to me, John, about this, and again, who knows how much of it is hyperbole and how much of it's legit. Marshall had said when he started thinking about this, that he was going to be free, he made a list of teams that he wanted to consider. And at the top of his list, number one was the Giants. The other teams were the Steelers because they were a hometown team, although he said he realized they didn't have much need for
right.
him. Then he also said that the Patriots and the Seahawks were the other teams that he was looking at because these were teams that he thinks can win a championship. Mm-hmm. And what happened? He came to the Giants for the first visit and didn't leave the building without a deal.
And he also
That's
said,
a good thing.
By the way, Bob Papa asked him on the PapaCast in a very good exclusive interview. You can check it out, WFN. You can download that. Bob Papa's PapaCast had Brandon Marshall exclusively yesterday right when he signed. And Bob asked him who he called on the Giants to, you know, see what it was going to be like when he got here and whether mm-hmm. or not it's a good place to be. And, you know, you figured the obvious guy is Snacks Harrison, his teammate with the Jets.
Right.
And Brandon Marshall said to him, Bob, I didn't have to call anybody. I know from being in the league for 10 years what the Giants organization is like.
Wow.
So I didn't even bother talking to anybody. I knew this was a place where I would want to play.
Good question, better answer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. We could talk about some other stuff, too, folks. The free agency market, of course, is hot and heavy. It's going fast and furious. We'll get into that. And obviously, the Giants still with some needs they're going to try to address. Not a ton of reports out there for what might be next for Big Blue, but if you have any questions, you can go there. But, Paul, in general, the last hour or so has seen a lot of people flying off the market, according to reports. And, again, none of this is official, folks. This is all according to reports. I'll try to attribute who is first as best as possible, but it's hard. They come out so quickly. It was either Rappaport or Schefter has Whitworth leaving the Bengals, which
right.
I think both of us are surprised by. Andre Whitworth, the top left tackle on the market.
Yeah.
And surprisingly, the team he went to isn't a team that's exactly poised to win a championship. He's going to the L.A. Rams for, I think the report was like a three-year, $36 million deal, somewhere in that range, about 12 per season. Matt Khalil is rumored to be going to the Carolina Panthers. Joel Bitonio is rumored to be re-signed to a monster extension to the Browns.
Yep.
Who else am I missing? It sounds like Zeitler is going to leave the Bengals, the other guard, though he's still in the mix. They haven't figured out where he's going to go yet, but word has it the Bengals are not going to match there. The wide receiver market is out of control. Pierre Garçon, big money. DeSean Jackson, big money. Robert Woods, big money. Kenny Britt, big money to the Browns. There are rumors out there that the Patriots might try to trade Malcolm Butler for Brandon Cooks. Who am I missing? I think the Eagles signed a wide receiver contract. I forget who it was, but
the Romo rumors for sure. That's another big one.
Yeah, though nothing hot right now. Nothing seems to be imminent there.
This morning they were saying he's probably going to go to the Broncos or the Texans, which has been rumored for a long time.
But then reports from those sites said that neither team has indicated they're even ready to meet with him about anything.
Okay.
They have other things they want to deal with. But I think those are the two.
So much.
But to me, Paul, those are the two teams that make sense. I agree
yeah.
with you.
Yeah. You know, John, I think the one thing that we're seeing is that, and I know it's relative, folks, and I don't want you to be jumping all over me for this, but I just think there's a lot of overpriced deals being given out right now.
Well, we thought that last – it's like that year – it's you like know? That every year in free agency, Paul.
And that's – and you're right.
That's the way it goes.
That first wave is usually the overpriced wave. And then, as Jerry Reese has said many times, everybody kind of takes a step back. The market recorrects itself and adjusts itself. And then on the back end, you can usually get a more reasonable deal. Now, you're getting second-tier players usually in that regard.
Or third-tier, right.
But at least the value kind of matches the contract a little bit more than it does today.
Then again, sometimes you make a big splash on day one. They all work out like the Giants moved last year, which is day
yes,
one and day two.
That
moves.
Can
so
happen. That can
it all
happen.
Depends. We'll see. All right, folks, I know you're excited, so why don't we do your phone calls at 201-939-4513. We got 45 minutes. Me, Paul, you, talking Giants, talking free agency. Let's do it. Dean in Connecticut will lead us off. Dean, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Hey, guys. John and Paul, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Dean. How are you?
Not bad. Hey, listen, don't get me wrong. I'm 100% on board with this Brandon Marshall signing. But one thing I'm worried about is the pass protection. I mean, he's not as fast and as shifty as Odell Beckham to get off the press or the man coverage right away.
No, but Dean,
so
Dean.
Need time in the pocket to find his reads.
No, but
Dean. To go through the route progression.
His strength and his size will allow him to get off the line just fine. If you want to have concerns about the pass protection, no argument. Understand this. Signing does not solve that part of the problem, but don't worry about Brandon Marshall getting open early in routes. With his size and strength,
yeah.
he'll do that. That won't be a problem. But you're right. That is still a focus. They do have to do some work in pass protection on the offensive line. No argument from Paul and I.
I am sure there are plans B and C on the drawing board upstairs as we speak.
And D and E and F and G.
And until they take effect, I don't think you need to just sit back in your chair and think this is what it is, because this cake is not baked yet.
Well, I mean, let's compare this. When we had Plexico Burris, we had a dominant slot receiver in Steve Smith alongside with him, who moved to chains, a la I think Sterling Shepard could do. So we never had that dynamic 1-2 punch. I mean, we had Akeem Nix and Victor Cruz, but they, you know what I mean?
And Manningham?
I'm really anxious to see what leadership Brandon Marshall can bring and how he can take Odell under his wing and make him play with more passion and put his play on the field and less talking.
Whoa. I don't think you want Odell to play with more passion. If anything, he's too passionate.
Yeah, you got to be
careful.
You got to be careful with that, okay? Because he might just come human spontaneous combustion on the field.
Absolutely.
You'll see him turn into smoke.
I think Brandon Marshall maybe will help mentoring some of the young receivers, but to me, that's not the big reason why he's here, and that's not the big reason why I like the signing. I just think it's a good complement to what they have here. I don't think he can hurt the room. I think it'll be fine. But to me, I don't think that you have an issue with Brandon Marshall and these young guys. And it sounds like he's going to be accepting, and this is something Paul and I talked about, one of the potential stumbling blocks with that Brandon Marshall move to me was whether or not he was willing to accept the fact he wasn't going to get 160 targets every year. Mm-hmm. And from all indications, he seems to be willing to accept that number two role with Sterling Shepard. So if that's the case, I don't see any issues with the move at all.
I'm sure that's one of the first questions the Giants asked him when they sat down.
And that's what me, you, and Ralph Valchiano, we had a long conversation at the Combine about this. And
how can you
it
not?
Seems like Brandon Marshall, based on what he has said, alleviated a lot of those off-the-field, non-football concerns that people had about the move.
Yeah.
Well, he wants a ring. Am I right or am I wrong?
Absolutely.
That's apparently the deal.
All right. I got one more thing, and I'll take it off the air.
Sure.
Well, it's kind of a two-part thing. With Jonathan Hankins, we don't know what's going on yet. I mean, I'm sure there's reports out there that he's looking for $9-10 million a year. With Odell in his contract year and the Giants, they can't afford to pay Hankins this type of money and then re-sign Odell next year with the cap number that Dwayne Harris has and Dominique Rodgers-Camardi. Do you see some sort of shifting, some sort of, I don't know, Jerry Reese maneuverability here to make some flex, to make some room to try to save Hankins at least? Or do you think it's going to be like a Linville Joseph deal and, you know, you play your rookie contract and see you later?
I mean, Jerry Reese can be an Olympic-quality contortionist. I'm not sure how much you can do to create enough space to make room for all these guys. And remember, it's not just Beckham here, folks. The same year Beckham becomes a free agent in the summer of 2019, Landon Collins is a free agent. In the same summer of 2018, next year, Justin Pugh and Weston Richburg are both free agents. And by the way, if you see the contracts being thrown out to the best guards in the league, you got to worry about that next year. So, again, Jerry Reese will manage the cap, and Kevin Abrams will manage the cap as best they can. I think it's hard to argue with the job they've done managing the cap the last couple of years, given all the space and flexibility they've had. The mere fact they had the flexibility to franchise JP speaks to their ability to manage the cap over the last couple of years. So, Dean, thanks for the call. I think it's going to be really difficult, given, you know, where they are financially, to do those things. Thanks for the call, Dean. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks. Looking forward to seeing Big Blue next year. Let's go.
Great.
Thank you.
One thing, John, very important to note, and it goes to the defensive line question that he just asked about with Hankins, who I think, once he hits the open market, is going to get some very lucrative offers.
Based on what we're seeing.
Yeah, no question. And that's the point here because, you know, in retrospect, how smart do the Giants look after tagging JPP now? Because we all thought, at least I certainly did, I think you're on the same page with me, that if JPP had free agency, someone was going to back up the Brinks truck and they were going to give him such a number that the Giants may not be able to keep him.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Sure.
I think we thought that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's now not just a guess. It's fact. Because you look at every single pass rusher that was up for free agency.
They got franchised or they got signed.
One of them got, either re-signed, got tagged, or I think Calais Campbell is about to get a big offer to go somewhere else.
Has he gone already?
It's not done.
I haven't seen any Campbell news in the last couple hours. They're claiming
he's getting like a boatload offer from Jacksonville, it's not done yet.
Well, that's because are you surprised that Tom Coughlin wants to get the best and biggest defensive lineman? He's right up their alley.
But the point being, okay, is that nothing flew off the board faster and for more money than pass rushers did. And so right now, the Giants with that $17 million tag on JPP, guess what? Looks like a real smart move at this point, doesn't it?
Well, 39 minutes ago, how about this? Chris Mortensen reports Calais Campbell could take less money, 13 per year, to go home to Denver. Jacksonville offering more than 14. That's 39 minutes ago from Mort.
Okay.
Imagine him on that Denver defense.
It's pretty
good.
With
Von Miller.
It's pretty good.
And he's the perfect 3-4 defensive end. That's his position.
Well, and again, that's the other thing. He's not a 4-3 defensive end. He's a different kind of player, so
yeah,
I don't want to compare him.
He's your classic two-gap defensive lineman.
I don't want to compare him to JPP, but the point I'm making is that the pass rushers, they're the first guys to go this week. They're getting scapped up just like that.
Happening quick.
So.
It's happening quick. And, you know, there's so much money out there. And we said this last year. There's more money than there are quality players to pay all that money to. That's why all these teams have been rolling this cap space over from year to year, mm-hmm. because you don't have, you know, enough great players to throw out that money to, and it's just kind of the way it goes. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phone and say what's up to Jason up in Maine. Jason, what's going on?
Not much. How about you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
Hi.
Pretty good. A couple questions for you. I'm wondering, one, on the quarterback situation. I know we can't just assume that Eli's not going to get hurt. It only takes one play to get hurt. So I'm wondering if Ryan Nassib is surely gone, and if he is, can you name some maybe possible guys they could bring in, or what you think they're thinking along the lines of backup quarterback this year?
I mean, I don't think you can say he's surely gone. You know, he's a free agent. He hasn't signed anywhere else yet. So, and I know Eli Manning is a big fan of his. I know Ben McAdoo is a big fan of Ryan Nassib, the way he's spoken about him publicly. So I don't think it's a guarantee. As for who the backup quarterback might be, that's something that's been very quiet. There hasn't been anything really out there. I think that'll be a wait-and-see proposition. But in fairness, Paul, and you talk about it now, the backup quarterback market isn't something that's, you know, veteran minimum land anymore either. I mean, Josh McCown's probably going to get a few million from Dallas. You look at some of these other deals around the league, the Chase Daniels deal last year with Philly to back up Carson Wentz. So, you know, that's not a contract that's going to be a veteran minimum situation either, unless you want to get somebody that you might not be able to rely on.
No, you make a good point, John. I do think that those guys, though, on the back end, you will be able to get them cheaper because I do think.
But you won't get somebody that's as accomplished then.
No, you won't. Correct. But, you know, as we talked about during the combine, I think we talked about, my feeling is that's the way to go for the Giants. Next year's quarterback class is much deeper than this year's is. So if you're looking for the next franchise guy, get him next year. This year, get your one-year stopgap. Get your Sorgi, your Painter, your Rosenfels. Get one of those guys because, look.
Just your stopgap.
The Giants expect to have terrific weapons at receiver. They're going to hopefully improve the running game. And we think they're going to have another top 10 defense or better. So your stopgap backup veteran doesn't have to be, you know, Jeff Hostetler. He doesn't have to be. He can be much lower than that and still manage the game and hand off the ball and take the snaps and you could still win.
And, of course, the Giants haven't had to use their backup quarterback in quite a while either. So
let's hope that continues.
That's why I'm doing
just
that.
For the sake of it. And by the way, Ryan Nassib had the offseason work done on his elbow. We haven't talked to him.
Well, in-season work even. Didn't he have it during the bye week?
I think it might have been at the very end of the year. So the truth is, we haven't talked to him, and I don't know that anybody has given anybody official word on where he stands.
No, I don't know what his health status is either. That's actually a really good point. I should have brought that up. 201-939-4513. Jason, thanks for the call. Christian's in New York. He's up next. Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. After seeing the kind of money that Whitworth got, I'm not terribly disappointed that we didn't get him. But I would really like to see us get Riley Reiff. And I was wondering, if we don't get him, is there anything near his level that would still be adequate for next year?
Well, I mean, I don't know the type of contract he's going to be looking for and what type of contract he's going to get. It doesn't look like he's going to go back to Detroit. Because they're set at left tackle with their young guy and they just signed Ricky Wagner, the top right tackle in the lineup for Baltimore.
Left tackle.
Decker, thank you. Couldn't think of the name. So they're set at tackle right now, so I think it would be a surprise if he wound up in Detroit. Where else he might go, given the offensive line money that's flying around, Paul, who knows? But I'm sure the Giants will kick the tires and take a look and see if they think he's a good fit.
You know, I don't know exactly, you know, what his number is either. I do know from talking to the people at the Combine from Detroit, they indicated he really would like to go back to playing left tackle again.
Of course, now, because that's where the money is. Of course he wants to go back to play left tackle.
Yeah, I was just going to say, given the numbers that are being thrown out there, and he's 27, and he's healthy.
I mean, you got to push $10 million a year, right?
I don't even want to guess. I just know this. It's going to cost you some money. And right. I don't know that the Giants are in a position right now where they have enough in the wallet to do something like that.
Because remember, you still have to take care of right guard. You don't have a starting right guard on the roster right now. Look at it this way. Right now you have four starting offensive linemen on your roster.
Yes.
Based on who started last year. I don't know where you're going to put Bobby Hart. Do you like him at right tackle? Do you like him at right guard? Mm-hmm. Where's Flowers going to wind up? The Giants do have to send with Newhouse a free agent, with John Jerry a free agent. You're likely going to have to bring in a starting offensive lineman that is currently not on the roster, you would think, at some point in time. Mm-hmm. They lost their two guys that were basically their starting mics last year. First and second down, Kelvin Shepard. Third down, Keenan Robinson. So they're going to have to do something with that. Even if B.J. Goodson takes half that role, you need somebody else to take the other half. So that's a move they're going to have to make. And then with Larry Dinella, free agent, you figure they could, you know, this could be the draft too. You could decide to do something at tight end. So these are all different options the Giants have, and you can't just take whatever resources you happen to have left and throw them in one position.
No.
You mentioned backup quarterback too. There's just too much work to do in other places.
Yep.
201-939. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Christian.
That's all right. I have to say that if you don't get either a left or right tackle and a fourth corner, I just don't see how we could get further than last year, because anytime Trevin Wade is on the field, it makes me feel like it's 2015
all right,
again.
Hold on. You're forgetting there's something called the draft in April.
Correct.
And quite frankly, corner is very, very deep.
To me, this
so don't worry about that. They'll probably get one if they want one.
Anybody who wants a corner this year will find one in the draft.
Yeah,
trust me, there's that many good players at corner.
Will.
So I wouldn't worry about that, Christian.
And I've been telling people on Twitter for the last several days, and please don't disregard this. I know everybody wants to poke holes in the voodoo doll, but the fact of the matter is, how do you know that Bobby Hart and Flowers will not get better? How do you know that?
No, but you don't know that they will either.
Yeah, but at their age, going on 23 years old with limited experience in this league, you know, they always say year three is the prove-it year. That's the breakout year. Let's just see, because maybe your best option is the fact that those two guys are going to be good enough to get the job done.
That is a risk, though. There is a risk involved
with that. Of course there is. There's a risk in anything you do.
Correct.
I'm just saying, that may turn out to be their best plan.
Based on who's available, that might end up being the best plan. Mm-hmm.
I would just love to see an adequate you know, backup plan to Flowers, because he honestly looks like he hasn't improved since his first few games, and I was really hoping he would. But also, you know, I would just really like to see a very good run-blocking interior lineman, because I feel like Richburg and Pugh don't really get much of a push off the line.
I think Pugh does a better job of it than Richburg does. When Richburg's a little undersized, he's not going to be a guy that's going to, you know, plow somebody down the field, but he's a great technician. He's a good communicator. He plays well with the guys next to him. He's a good leader on the offensive line. He's smart. He does a lot of things well. But again, if you do want to end up keeping those guys out of tackle, which, you know, we'll see if that happens, and you want to bring a plowing right guard in that's going to push people down the field, I don't think you'll get an argument from Paul, but we get back to available resources, and you got to figure out with the going rate for these guards now, Paul, which, you know, you're approaching eight digits in salary per year for some of these guards, it's going to be tough to find one of the top ones and fit them underneath the Giants' parameters with the salary cap.
Remember, your primary purpose with drafting guys is that you're going to bring them in, you're going to coach them up, you're going to develop them, and hopefully, while they are still economically sound and make sense for you, you can get enough out of them to become blossoming flowers, if you will, pardon the pun, so that you want those guys to be around for their second contract and be a long-term solution to your winning plans. But You know what? After just 2 years, there are people still trying to stick pins in those voodoo dolls of the Giants' two tackles right now. And I'm sorry. I don't give up on anybody till after three. So I'm not doing it. You can give up on them if you want. I don't think the Giants have. And that's the most important decision of all.
Right, but I do think that, and Coach McAdoo and Jerry Reese both made this point, I think they like to see competition for those guys.
Absolutely.
They don't want this to be a situation where they're just handing them the jobs.
Competition makes people better.
Right. Exactly.
I agree with that.
And the other thing I want to point out, too, if the Giants decide to go down this path, Christian, and I'm not saying they should, but it's an option, probably the best offensive lineman in this draft, regardless of position, is Forrest Lamp. And if the Giants do decide they want to wait until the draft to address that part of the offensive line, there's a pretty decent chance he'll be on the board at 23. Now, I know picking guards in the first round isn't sexy. It's not great. But go ask the Dallas Cowboys if they regret picking Zach Martin 12 a couple years ago. I'm pretty sure they don't. And that's the player comp I've heard a lot for Forrest Lamp out of Western Kentucky. So that is, again, I'm not advocating it, but it is an option to go down that road. It looks like you've got a guard contract that just came down, huh?
Speaking of the Cowboys, Mike Garofolo of NFL Network says Ronald Leary leaving Dallas, 4 years, $35 million, 20 guaranteed for Ronald Leary.
Who was a backup before Lael Collins got hurt last year.
Like those prices, folks?
Very similar. Remember
and
the contract?
Like to say, real
yeah,
quick.
Go ahead.
The formula of last year was really working. Until DRC went down and you had to put Trevin Wade on the field.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure the Giants are going to bring in corners.
I have a question. Can you name how many teams have awesome fourth cornerbacks, Christian?
Yeah.
I think they're all better than Trevin Wade.
Well, you're
Thank
entitled
you,
to your opinion. Have
Appreciate
a good day.
The call, bud. You mentioned Ronald Leary there. Remember the contract that Desmond Parnell got, who was a backup Cowboy offensive lineman, got a few starts from the Jaguars a couple years ago. I think they're regretting that move because I don't think he's been okay since he got there. And the funny thing about Ronald Leary, he played really well in college. Do you know why he went undrafted?
Nope.
He had a degenerative knee condition. So teams were so freaked out by his MRI and the results on his knee that nobody picked him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that knee condition's gone away in the last 4 years?
Probably not.
No, I would think not. So that is a risky move there by the Broncos, thinking that he can continue to play on that knee with the issues that he was supposed to have. Now, maybe it'll work out. Maybe they figure out a way to work around it, but, you know. And the Cowboys, who, wanted, by the way, want to sign Zach Martin to a long-term deal, you knew they weren't going to keep Ronald Leary around. They just don't have the money to spend on another offensive lineman. They already have Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith locked up long-term.
Yeah. I think what you have to understand right now with some of these numbers that are being thrown around for these guys, it seems to me, John, and I'm just reading off the Twitter and off the beat guys all around the league, these players are signing or agreeing to deals on their first visits, it seems like, or their first conversations. You don't see guys like
someone handed
making
you a check
the circuit.
That said $20 million. Wouldn't you sign it too?
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. The usual circus atmosphere of guys making that concert tour to say, okay, I'm going to look at five or six different places, and then I'm going to make my decision, which we used to see all the time, if you remember. I mean, it wasn't, what, 5-6 years ago. Guys were constantly making the circuit, you know, like pro wrestlers going from arena to arena and then finally deciding, we'll let you know in a couple days what we're going to decide. It seems like in this free agency crop, everybody is jumping at the first thing they can get their hands on. Just saying.
Kimberly Martin. Let's see. What do I got here? Few other things to note. Has that Patriot Brandon Cooks deal been official? I see a couple other things about it here. I'm not sure if that's been made official yet, but I don't believe. I don't see anything here that it is official, but that's something to keep an eye on. And that'd be interesting because they'd be trading one good young player who they just gave a first-round restricted tender to in Malcolm Butler for Brandon Cooks, who's been in the league 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. So I guess the Patriots would control his rights for another three.
Yeah, they probably would.
And I guess they think Malcolm Butler is expendable because they are going to sign Stephen Gilmore, the kid from the Bills. It's funny. And the Patriots, they already traded for Dwayne Allen, too, as a good run-blocking tight end.
And by the
way, which means bye-bye Martellus Bennett.
Patriots have some cap room.
You know what that is? You know what it reminds me of? It's like the old
it's not fair.
Water wheels.
It's
where,
not fair.
Where it, you know, picks up water on the bottom and then just dumps it back into the same river. That's what the Patriots free agency plans are like. They just pick up a player 1 year, it goes all the way around the circle, and they dump it back into the stream. They pick up another player, bring it around the circle, dump it back into the stream.
And somehow that old showboat just keeps moving along, doesn't it? Yeah. I don't know, man.
That was a very good – I'm not sure if you intended. That was a very good, like, Broadway showboat type of reference there. That might be the best pop culture reference I've ever heard you make.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, you aren't exactly Captain Pop Culture.
No, I'm Mr. Old School.
And one of the songs in Showboat is "The Showboat Keeps Rolling Along."
Yes, sir.
There you go. Good job, Paul DiTino.
Please go ahead.
Granted, it's a pop culture reference from like the 60s, but we're getting closer to current times. Julius in Atlanta is up next. Julius, what's going on?
Hey, John, Paul, how y'all doing today?
Hello.
Hi, bud. How are you?
I just want to say before I start, y'all are just as much as the biggest big organization as players on the field, man. I just wanted to get that off my chest.
That is not true, Julius. I wish, you know what? Send the letter into Mr. Mara for me. Send the letter. Address it to Don Sperling and tell him that if they can just compensate us a tenth of what they do the players on the field, we'll sign up for that right now.
The only thing that we have in common with the players, we breathe the same air in the facility.
And we all in the same cafeteria.
We're putting the work and the dedication, so I just had to throw that out.
I appreciate
that,
Julius.
You're a very nice man.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I wanted to touch on I'm glad we signed Brandon Marshall. And, Paul, you said something just a few minutes ago. A lot of people are bashing, you know, Eric Flowers, this whole left tackle position. And I think that if we just worry about running back and Jabril Peppers out of the draft, I think we'll be all right because Peppers and Collins can switch at the safety position, linebacker position.
You know, Julius, and thanks for the
We're
call.
Losing
your
them.
Your phone line's cut out a little bit, honestly. Having trouble hearing you there, but you can listen online to
call
our
back
answer.
Again tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call. I guess I'll hit the Peppers thing, and then you can hit the first part of his call. I have not watched Jabril Peppers on tape. I've talked to people that have, and we got a good feel for him from talking to people at the combine. Mm-hmm. My impression, Paul, and I will confirm this eventually looking at him on tape, that he's a much better athlete than he is a football player right now. Mm-hmm. He can run around. He's fast. Not a great tackler. Did not have a lot of takeaways in college. So I think this assumption that he's going to roll in here and be a game-breaking safety or linebacker right off the bat, I think there's a lot of projection involved there when you look at Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, I think it's going to matter a lot as to what that new NFL coach sees in him and where they're going to use him in the scheme.
And how you use him, right.
Because he does so many things so well, it's going to be easy to misuse him.
Right, but I think that's the thing. He's almost like a jack-of-all-trades, master of none. Where's his niche on the defensive side of the ball? Look, return game, right away, you put him in there, return kicks.
Oh, he'll help
punts,
you on specials immediately.
Oh, immediately. But you're not picking a guy in first round to help you out on special teams.
No.
So you got to figure out his niche role on defense.
That's true.
And what was the other part of his question?
He was asking about Flowers, and I think he was talking about the pass protection, and sounded like he wanted to be patient with the tackles as opposed to most of the folks who call us up. Here's what I will say. Everything in football has a domino effect. Understand this. Nothing that happens on a football field happens in a bubble.
And that's why the game is so much more complicated than a lot of the other sports.
It's why I love the game, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Now, what you have done by bringing in a 6'4" skyscraping receiver is, as John said before, he can get off the line of scrimmage. He can beat press coverage. He will give Eli Manning a second option within a millisecond who can get open besides Odell Beckham Jr. See, the problem is, part of what the Giants ran into is that many times when Eli had to just find the first guy open because he didn't have a lot of time, Odell was that guy 95 times out of 100. So in some ways, people were saying, well, Odell's getting force-fed. Well, guess what? If Eli only has 2.2 seconds and Odell is the first guy open, he's throwing the ball to Odell.
At the same time, and this is the kind of point that he made, he said, oh, the tackles really don't matter if you just get a running back. It's not true.
No. That's not true
you
at all.
You need to have offensive tackles that play well. Whether it's new guys or the old guys that are here getting better, it doesn't matter. But you need offensive tackles to play well to have success in this league, especially, and I'll run through this again, folks, you're playing a schedule next year that's going to feature Chandler Jones from the Cardinals, Khalil
well,
Mack
maybe
from
not
the Raiders.
Chandler Jones, you never know.
Well, I think they already put the franchise tag on him.
Oh, he was locked up again?
They franchise him. I think they're trying to work out a long-term deal.
Okay, okay.
Likely Chandler Jones from the Cardinals.
That's right.
I'll rephrase.
You're right.
You got Von Miller with the Broncos. You got Khalil Mack with the Oakland Raiders. Mm-hmm. You got Michael Bennett with the Seattle Seahawks. You have that Rams defensive line that knows how to get after the quarterback. You got the Chiefs defensive line with Justin Houston and Tamba Ali. Or did he retire? Justin Houston's there for sure.
Houston's there. So's Ali.
You got these guys running around like lunatics trying to get after the quarterback. Guess what? Your tackles matter. So, whether it's being patient with the guys you have and then getting better and working out or bringing in somebody else, the tackle play has to be better than last year. Or, as good as the Brandon Marshall signing is, it's not going to have the same impact. It could if Eli had more time.
Granted, no question. Right now, they have incrementally helped their situation with the offensive line just by giving him, though, another target to throw to. The other way you can do it, folks, and there are so many ways that you can improve your overall offense, okay? One of the things the Giants can do, and probably at a relatively cheap price, is get a stud blocking tight end. Because not only will he help the running game, okay, he will also help in pass protection. And that is a missing ingredient here that the Giants have had for several years. If your offensive line is subpar and it's blocking, add that stud tight end. Howard Cross used to be called the sixth offensive lineman by Bill Parcells because that's what he was. He was the sixth offensive lineman. And if you got that guy, that can help make up for some of the deficiencies along your front. So maybe with, let's just say, nobody else comes in on the offensive line, although I still think they'll bring in guys for no other reason, for depth purposes and competition. But let's say they get no plug-and-play starters to help on this offensive line and the same starting five are back next year. If you add a stud blocking tight end, whether it's Will Johnson coming back from injury or you go out and get somebody this year, either in the draft or for a minimum, like Fasano, it will be a better blocking front, period.
201-939-4513. Let's go to the phones and say hi to Carl in Syracuse. He's up next. Hi, Carl.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Have you heard anything about Will Johnson's, or will you have to wait until, you know, the early off-season training starts to hear anything about that?
Middle of April, the off-season program starts and players report back to the facility. So I'm waiting to see him when he gets back here.
Correct.
Nice. Yeah, and then, you know, with a better blocking tight end like you just mentioned and then the better downfield blocking that's also added with Brandon Marshall, it's going to bring a real toughness to our running game. That should be another key component.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dispute that at all.
You know, Giants are high character guys. So what do you think about, you know, the talk about Joe Mixon and his possibility of, you know, being around? You know, I've seen some projections that he could be around the number 24. So what if it was like him and Christian McCaffrey? Would the Giants, you think, consider Joe Mixon?
I'm going to jump here, John, only because Charlie Casserly was on NFL Network and I saw him address this very topic. And he said he would have him off the board.
And I think a lot of teams will have him off the board. And
I do
think,
too.
And it's really tough for us, Carl, to speculate how the Giants view that with his off-the-field issues. So I don't know where they'll have him on the board. If they'll have him on the board, I don't know. I can tell you, based on his ability, if he didn't have the off-the-field problems, he'd be a first-round pick. He's that good. And whatever team gets him, whenever they get him, is going to get a pretty darn good football player. But I will reiterate this again. I know a lot of people want to pick a running back in the first round. No, 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 no. And I'll explain why again. Okay? You have Shane Vereen on the roster. He's your third down back. He didn't have leg injuries, okay? A torn tricep is not something that's going to keep him out next year. He's going to be fine injury-wise. So you have your third down back. Paul Perkins showed a ton over the course of the last 4 weeks last year. And if you listen to the combine shows, every person that studied the draft last year said they love Paul Perkins and think he's going to be good. Mm-hmm. So you want to get him 15 to 18 touches a game somehow. So then what the hell are you going to do if you draft a running back in the first round? What, is he going to get eight touches? I mean, it just the touches don't make sense. If you draft a running back in the first round, he's going to get you 20 to 25 touches a game. Why? Because he's a first-round pick, and that's how much you want to use a first-round pick at running back. That means you're taking Paul Perkins, right, and you're putting him in the garbage disposal, and you're throwing him away. I'm not willing to do that, which is why I don't think a first-round pick on a running back makes a lick of sense.
I'll say this for you, okay? If you believe, as I do, and I know John shares it, and Bob Pop, and a lot of us share this feeling, if the Giants are going to mix their running backs together, Vereen and Perkins, the guy who's missing is the power back. Much like the skyscraper was missing in the wide receiver component, the power back is missing in the running back component. So that's the guy you got to get. You know, and
I saw something about the Giants meeting with Alvin Kamara, and I know his draft stock rose because of his high spark score. And do you think he might fall to the Giants in the second, possibly?
I didn't see the report.
I didn't see the report either.
It wasn't a confirmed meeting, but it was just there was a lot of players that they had confirmed meetings with, and then there were some that were just speculative meetings.
Well, first of all, and I get a lot of these questions on Twitter too, Carl. Do not make a lot out of these meetings. The
yes.
Giants will basically meet in one way, shape, or form, whether it's at the combine, at a pro day, separate meetings here at the facility. They'll meet with so many players in the draft class that they're not going to draft. I mean, you're looking at a 10% draft versus meeting rate. So I wouldn't go nuts with who the Giants meet with and who they don't. I honestly don't even really pay attention to it, to be quite honest with you, because a lot of times it's irrelevant as to who they select. Is there a chance he's there in late second round? Yeah, I think so. I think he more than likely, though, he'll get picked somewhere between 30 and 50. Or 30 and 45, depending on how quickly those running backs go off the board, in my opinion, based on how people see him.
Okay.
Thank you, Carl.
Well, I'd like to see David Njoku, but I don't think he's going to be there.
He might be. You never know.
It's
thanks
possible.
A lot. Thanks a lot for the call, man.
Could be.
He could be. And I
don't think so, but you never know.
No, I mean, he could be there at 23. You don't know.
You know, for me, O.J. Howard right now is the more surefire blocker.
Well, and he's a top 15 pick now, though.
I know, and he's never going to get there. But if you said to me, which of the tight ends, if you had your fantasy, could you get, I'd want Howard.
Oh, of course. Unfortunately, we don't live in a fantasy world.
No, we don't.
Now, he mentioned the spark scores, and I'm sure fans aren't quite sure what those are. And I think you've probably seen them online, Paul. They've created these, like, spider graphs showing guys' combine performances.
Yeah.
And it shows them basically what percentile they fall into based on their position.
Right.
With everyone that's run those drills. I'm not sure how far the data goes back, either 5 or 10 years, I'm thinking, something like that.
It's a comparative computation.
Tool. Right.
Which gives you a ballpark as to where the guy would fall in relation to guys who have succeeded.
Athletically speaking,
yes.
In terms of all their drill performance. And I
yes.
think it's interesting. I'll put once we get through free agency, I'll get somebody on that's an expert in that stuff over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
just to kind of explain.
We don't delve into that.
Right. Just to explain how it works and how you use those scores. And it creates player comparisons based on, you know, numbers and things like that. You know, the problem, though, is that there's exceptions to every rule. I mean, there's a reason that undrafted guys make Pro Bowls. Undrafted guys aren't putting up, you know, great spark scores.
No doubt.
So
I don't think Jerry Rice had a good spark score, although they didn't have it in those days.
They are not guarantors of success, but they are another tool to give you player comparisons and see where guys do match up physically, what they do well, what they don't, based on athleticism and things like that. Let's go to Nicole in Connecticut. She's up next on Giants.com on line one. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, this is Nicole. I just wanted to thank you for giving Joey, my son, the package, Paul.
Oh, hey, you're very welcome. I'm glad that worked out.
Joey Jr.
Yeah,
you know,
I will only say this. It was a heartwarming story. I'm glad we could do something to help you out. And, you know, it's always good to see somebody get a smile put on their faces under a difficult situation like that. So I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, and I'm trying to get him to meet Odell. We're going to go to the training camp this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's 10, but he has his LSU card. He collects all the cards.
That's great.
And his father had a bunch too. He was an avid Giants fan.
Right. Well, that's great stuff. And do wish him well for us. Okay. Go ahead.
Darian Thompson, his injury. How's that coming along?
again, we have not seen these guys, John. You know, we're waiting to see them in the middle of April. They come back for their off-season workout program.
God bless the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see him with Collins. You know, so, together.
Yeah. I look, here's what I will tell you. They were thrilled to get him last year. He did not disappoint. From the moment he walked onto campus, everybody was impressed with him, even beyond the moments when they drafted him. That's how good they feel about him. And now it's just a matter of getting him back out there for year two. However, do understand this, and we've all been touting him, John, for a while now. Remember, in effect, this is going to be his rookie season. He's going to make mistakes.
Sure.
So don't look for him to go to the Pro Bowl this year, okay? Not quite yet. Let the guy work through what will be his first season on the field.
But if he's healthy, I do think he will be a significant upgrade to what they put out there at free safety last year.
I would agree with that.
Hi. I also want to say that I'm going to – my family are Jets and Giants fans, and when Joey – we found out he was a boy, he actually named after his father – Joey Jr., mm-hmm. and we bought Giants clothes as soon as we found out he was a boy. So I'm going to post it on your Twitter, the picture of him when he was born. He had the Giants stuff on.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying Giants clothes for a little baby girl
and
either.
By the way, and that is true.
Well, Joey's a boy.
I know, but you can buy Giants clothes for any baby. Yeah, it's kind of a unisex thing.
Well, he's got the limited Odell Beckham jersey.
There you go.
I don't even have mine yet.
All right. Well, I hope you do get one for your next holiday because Giants fandom is universal.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And I'm sure, and I think I've said this somewhere before, maybe not officially yet, but when my baby girl arrives in August, on August 3rd, I'm sure there will be
you
some.
You can't pin down the date on your wife. That's not fair.
That's what the doctors tell us.
She
I'm not
will,
pinning down anything.
She will do it when she wants to.
Well,
and you got nothing to say about it at this point.
And we are both hoping, by the way, that it comes about 5 days before training camp so I can actually, you know, see my child before hell on wheels begins in the beginning of training camp. So
we get busy around here, don't we?
And I'm sure there will be some Giants girl paraphernalia in gift bags for the young child.
It's a must.
Yes, and it will not all be pink either. This will not be a pink-painted room and a pink-clad child every day of her life. That's
it
not
is
happening.
The one time in a young girl toddler's life that blue is actually acceptable.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think that, like, kind of powder baby blue is kind of good for both sides. Yellow, orange, purple, they're, you know, they kind of roll everywhere.
I kind of like this blue, but whatever.
You are the ultimate one-tracked mind person I've ever met. You just can't get your head out of it.
Well, you're not going to give her anything that's Knicks blue.
I mean.
Not after the way they've been playing the last decade.
If I have to suffer, my kid's going to suffer with me. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jeff in New Hampshire. Jeff, how are you?
Good. How are you guys today?
Doing great. Hi. Jeff. What's up?
Well, like everybody else, I'm kind of talking offensive line, but I just want to come from a little bit of a different angle than what most people seem to be calling with.
Sure.
I'm kind of tired of hearing everywhere I turn all the phone calls, everybody's saying we need to go out and get a left tackle. Two reasons. One, there isn't one out there, and we don't have the money for it even if there was. There's no franchise left tackles out there, and we couldn't afford one if there was. The other, I really don't subscribe to this theory that if Flowers is a bad left tackle, we just move him to the right and he's going to be better.
Jeff, I think you hit the nail on the head there. There is no guarantee that he'll be better on the right side than the left. I agree with that 100%. I think it's an assumption that a lot of people have made, and I think it's a faulty one because you have just as many good pass rushers now on that right tackle side as he do on the left tackle side.
If
plus,
not more.
And plus,
teams in the AFC West, they all rush him from the other side.
You're right. And you're going to ask a guy then to change his footwork around. He hasn't played right tackle in 5 years. So
footwork,
I don't think there's any guarantee he's going
to
be better there. Right.
You see, I disagree with you guys
right.
a bit. Because,
I know you do.
Because while the technique is a little different and he would have to relearn some techniques to go to the right side, and I'm not going to disagree with that at all, you got to remember two things. The Giants, with a right-handed quarterback, are a strong side right running team when they get the run game going. At least that's the plan. If you are running at the direction of the edge pass rusher, that can help neutralize that pass rusher. So that will make things easier for Ereck Flowers to deal with than if he's on the island on the left side.
Yeah, but they could have ran at him at the left side, too, if they wanted to.
Yeah, but that's not where you usually go. If you're usually a right-handed quarterback team, you want to do power runs to the right. and you want to run at that guy on that edge. That's why Justin Tuck was always the left defensive end, or at least most of the time, in the Giants formation. The stray end wound up getting moved to the left side. That's where your run stopper usually is.
That's true.
Now, when teams are going to flop their pass rusher over there, what you want to do is run at him.
You can't do that on third down, though.
I understand that. It's not a perfect answer here,
right,
John.
Of course.
But it does somewhat mute the negatives when you move him to the right. The other thing is, your tight end is going to line up virtually all the time on the right side of the offensive line. So Eric Flowers, if he's over on the right tackle spot, will have help. Unlike what he's got now, when there is nobody to help him out at left tackle. So I will disagree with you about 90% on your comment. Doesn't mean you're 100% wrong, but I won't disagree with it.
I just watched a lot of games last year. I can think of one game in particular where almost every sack, it was Kansas City, Denver, every sack came from the right side. So I don't think a guy with bad hands and bad footwork is going to get any better on the other side. But even if that's
yeah, but what if he's got help? What if there's a blocking tight end there on his shoulder?
It's
a two on one.
On the left, we got a fullback.
But that's not the way they run it. Okay, they're a right-handed quarterback. Right-handed quarterbacks usually run strong side right.
But Paul, when it's third and long, what difference does it make? You can have the running back chip wherever you want.
No, because if it's third and long and you got an all-around tight end, even in the Giants days with Parcells, Howard Cross was staying in line. He was staying in line. He wasn't going out in the slot. He wasn't going out wild.
That's not how it works now, though, in the NFL. You know,
how do you know the Giants aren't going to do more of that this year?
They might.
I hope so. It would help. Look, they may have to out of necessity.
Well, that I won't argue with, but it's not something that's commonly done around the league these days.
Simply put, they can lessen the burden of the situation. There are some things they can do to lessen the burden.
That's absolutely
That's all I'm
correct.
Trying to tell
and that's
you.
That's absolutely correct. Correct.
That's possible, but here's my other point. One, well, there's that, and we would have a much better chance of upgrading our right tackle in free agency with the limited amount of resources we have.
That's true,
too. You know, everybody wants a big name,
point.
You know, because they think like Madden or whatever. All we have to do, we don't have to get a Pro Bowl right tackle because that's not going to happen. All we got to do is get somebody that's a little bit better than what we had last year,
mm-hmm.
and we've upgraded.
And, you know, Jeff,
maybe
I think
Bobby Hart's an upgrade over John Jerry this year. We don't know that yet.
Right.
But all we got to do is get somebody that's marginally better than Newhouse, and that's an upgrade.
You know, Jeff, and I think you made a really good point.
How do you know that guy isn't Hart, by the way?
Well, you don't. You know,
just saying.
But remember, seventh round pick. I mean, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We talked to Joe Corey last week at the Combine, by the way. And I think what Joe Corey said to us was interesting, that the right tackle market hasn't caught up to even the guard market yet.
That's
so
true.
I think the one point Jeff made, I think, was a really good one. And Jeff, thanks for the call. I got to run. I got one more call before you say goodbye. You can get a right tackle for lower on the financial scale than
much
the other
lower.
Spot. So I think that point is a good one. With your limited resources, you could probably find a better right tackle than you can find somebody at, say, left.
The person I talked to who was with the Lions out at the Combine just threw out numbers as a guess. So I'm not using these as our numbers nor as an educated number as to what I know. But they said to me they thought that Reef would get at least $2 million more if he was going to be playing left tackle for his new team.
Of course.
As opposed to if he was playing right. At least $2 million a year more. So I don't know what that means. I still don't know what he's asking for. But there's no question that your resources are going to run out real quick if you're trying to get a left tackle.
Final call of the show is Chris in Virginia. Chris, how are you, buddy?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
We're doing great.
Piggybacking off of what you said earlier about your daughter. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Look, man, I had onesies, New York Giants onesies. I had, you know, cheerleader. We didn't have cheerleaders. She had a cheerleader outfit. She had no choice. You know what I'm saying? When she came home, it was New York Giants. My father's a Cowboys fan. I said, you want to root for them, you go live with him. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. That's a little drastic.
I'm not, we're serious over here, man. We are serious. We're all Giant fans. Anyway, the Brandon Marshall thing, man, I love it. I wasn't expecting a sexy move,
okay.
Particularly after last year. You know what I'm saying? And I think, like you said earlier, Paul Fasano makes a lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? Because Brandon Marshall now, that takes the pressure off of what we may have needed at the tight end position. And besides, I don't think Will Tye is bad. He's just not a good blocker. I think he runs pretty good routes, and I think he has decent hands.
He's fine. I mean, he isn't a game changing tight end though.
No.
You can find
he's not that guy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think Eli's pretty comfortable with him. And I wanted to ask you this: the tag we got on JPP now, which I didn't. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this whole situation with him. But do you foresee, if a deal is not done, them pulling the tag to free up some money, or you know what I'm saying?
No. Do you know why? The money they'll spend elsewhere, you'll spend the same amount of money but get players that aren't as good as Jason Pierre-Paul. And
I think
that's the problem. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah. It's only happened twice where teams have pulled tags back like that and allowed guys to walk in the NFL. And it's so rare, and I don't think if the Giants really thought that it was going to come to that, they would have put the tag on them in the first place.
Right.
I agree with that. All right, man, I think that's pretty much it. But love the Marshall move, man, and we got to do something. You know, we still got June 1st cuts coming, so, like, there'll be some offensive linemen out there that we can bring in.
No, look,
I'll say this. There were more veteran tackles let go over the course of the last 3 weeks than I thought they were going to be. That pool got a little deeper, even though it's not a great pool.
Right. Thanks a lot for the call, man.
It really did.
Yeah.
Appreciate the call. And I want to pump the brakes here, okay, for a second. And I know he didn't mean this, but I think it's funny.
Where did he go?
I'm not worried about June 1st cuts yet.
Oh.
Free agency hasn't even started yet, and we're talking about June 1st cuts?
Well, because I think he's
talking. It's 3 hours. Give it some time. People, it's not over yet. Be a little bit patient. The clock hasn't even struck midnight on when the damn thing starts. Don't worry about June 1st cuts yet.
I think he's looking at the veteran tackles who are on the street and saying that pool is not real attractive.
I know.
And the only chance of that pool to change is going to be probably another month or so.
And I know that's not what he meant.
That's what he meant.
I know that's what he meant.
I know. It sounded a little bit funky to
you. But let's not just assume the Giants aren't going to do anything in free agency. It hasn't started yet. It hasn't started yet.
No.
Let's not write it off as a loss. I mean, come on.
And remember, I do want to clarify one thing, John, just
please,
for the fans out there who may have not have called us or sent us a message on Twitter.
Yes.
Brandon Marshall was a street free agent because he was released.
Correct.
By a previous team.
That's why he could sign before 4
Correct.
O'clock today.
Correct. Please understand that. Any guys who have signed before the 4 o'clock opening period today was signed because they were cut by a previous team. It's not because their contracts ran out. That is a very clear and unmistakable difference in the type of free agent that you're talking about. So that's why Marshall was allowed to put his pen on the dotted line. Just want to make that clear to folks who may not know.
I'm going to run through some of these NFL media accounts real quick. We talked about the Leary thing. Ted Ginn Jr. apparently heading to the Saints per sources, which to me lends credence to the fact that they might look to trade Cooks because they're very similar body types and things like that. So apparently Kurt Cousins to Adam Chris Mortensen. Kirk Cousins called Daniel Snyder personally to ask to be traded. Not demand the trade, but to say I would prefer to be moved. And Daniel Snyder said don't hold your breath. The Mike Lennon Bears thing we talked about, the Robert Woods thing we talked about. Let's see what else. Let's see what Mike Garofalo has. Mike's actually been all over a lot of this. He's been really good with the fringe stuff today, Mike. He's done a real good job covering it. We'll probably have him in at some point next week. Dolphins have placed a first-round tender on Kiko Alonso. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Ronald Leary thing, which is big. Garcon's deal, $23 million over the first couple years there. J.C. Tretter will be officially a Cleveland Brown. That's an offensive lineman. They're really trying to build that offensive line there and start from the inside out, which, by the way, is probably a smart move
mm-hmm.
when you're starting to try to build a team, especially if they're going to add a young quarterback. What's the most important thing to a young quarterback?
Gotta have a line.
An offensive line that can protect you. Eagles released Connor Barwin. I missed that earlier today with all these things going on.
Well,
so that's something.
Long in the tooth.
Right. And let me pick up Mr. Rappaport here, see if he has anything that happened recently before we say goodbye.
You and Feagles tomorrow, right?
It will be me and Feagles tomorrow as we sort out some of the stuff. Saints and Nick Fairley closing in on a big money contract. They're trying to improve their defense, so they have something. Again, he is the Cowboys losing Ronald Leary. Lyle Collins steps in for him. Patriots trying to bring back Daron Harmon, who is a very underrated covered safety, by the way. That's a good move by them. He's a good player. Aaron Williams released by the Bills. The belief is that the Saints will be able to trade Brandon Cooks by this afternoon. Patriots, Titans remain in the mix. Titans do need a wide receiver. That'd be good for Marcus Mariota.
See, just what the Patriots need, another good player.
How about Terrell McClain, who was a very low money defensive lineman for Dallas last year and actually played pretty well.
Yes.
4 years, $21 million for the Redskins. It's a lot of money for Terrell McClain.
Now you understand why Hankins wants to test the waters.
Right, and absolutely. And there are, by the way, some big names that we haven't heard a lot about. Brandon Williams is one who's going to get a lot of money wherever he winds up. Hankins has been quiet on a lot of the rumor fronts.
I haven't seen him anywhere, by the way.
Not really.
Not attached to any team.
Alshon Jeffrey's been very quiet. Not
yeah,
a whole lot of
true.
News on him.
That's true.
So,
prior, too.
Yeah, you're right.
Haven't seen
And the Browns aren't
going to
bring him back
him.
Because they signed Kenny Britt.
Right.
Which I thought was a reasonable contract. But I think even when we talked about the numbers a couple months ago, I didn't think we thought he was going to go that high. So, yes, that's just the way the free agency goes. That's kind of how we roll now in the first couple days in the beginning of March for free agency.
It's crazy, John.
So, Fegels and I tomorrow. Of course, stay tuned to Giants.com. We'll have all the latest with free agency starting at 4 o'clock. That's when the clock starts zero. We have our free agency page up, right, Dave, on Giants.com that people can check out. And has the anatomy of the play Brandon Marshall gone up yet? Not yet. That'll be going up a couple hours. I did in an hour
Good.
Or so. I did a breakdown, 6 or 7 different plays from last year. Mostly Brandon Marshall actually going up against Malcolm Butler and Richard Sherman. Two great corners. They matched up against them.
Sounds
and we
fair.
Show some of those contested catches, the back
Good.
Shoulder stuff. So you can check out some of that on Giants.com later on today. Me and Fegels tomorrow at noon. Enjoy free agency. Have the Twitter refreshing. And we'll see what moves get made. We'll see you tomorrow at noon on Giants.com. Have a wonderful afternoon.